Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Bible is filled with both promises and examples of God's help in time of need. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And likewise, when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not consume you." In Psalm 50, the Lord declares, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And then today, before us, we have two examples of God's love, aid, and protection. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah as he was drowning in the depths of the sea to deliver him. And when the waves of the sea threatened to overwhelm the boat in which the disciples were, Jesus Christ rose and rebuked the winds and the sea so that there was a great calm. Yes, the scriptures are filled with the glorious promises of God's help in the hour of trouble. But this, first of all, must be recognized, that the Christian will go through trouble. The Christian will endure trial. The Christian will suffer. It is only natural to wonder why, though. If Christians are children of God, it's only natural to assume that they would live a happy and pain-free life. After all, nobody wants to hurt the ones they love. And so if God is all-powerful, why wouldn't he keep his beloved from all their hurts? But that simply does not square with what God himself says. He does not promise to you a life free from pain and suffering. Though you are a Christian, you may also be laid off, or lonely, or ill, or yes, even dying. Even Christians have rivers to pass through, fires to walk through, stormy seas to sail. Sometimes these trials come to us Christians in order to discipline and correct sin, as it was with Jonah. We heard he was called by the Lord, called to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance to that great city, rebuking it for her evil. But Jonah fled. He went the opposite direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, in modern-day Iraq, he found a ship going to Tarshish, which could have been as far west as Spain. Wherever Tarshish may have been, it's clear that Jonah was hoping to go as far away as possible from where the Lord willed for him to be. And so to discipline him for his disobedience, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, so that there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. It was not happenstance. It was not a coincidence that caused the storm to arise. It was the will of the Lord that Jonah might repent. And he did. He prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the great fish. He repented of his sins, and he was forgiven. And the fish, we read, vomited Jonah on the dry land. And so when the Lord called him a second time to go to Nineveh to preach, Jonah did. He preached, and the people of Nineveh repented. As it was for Jonah, so it is for us at times. Sometimes the struggles we endure come as a direct consequence of our sins. The adulterer whose spouse and children have left him, the addict who was fired from his job, the gossiper who no longer has any friends, they can't say that their trials are due to the unfathomable will of God, or that the Lord must work in mysterious ways. No, sometimes we suffer the just penalty due our sins. However, we must also be clear, this is not always the case. Yes, there is suffering in the world due to Adam's sin in the garden. Our Lutheran confessions teach us that the punishment and penalty for original sin, which God laid upon Adam's children and upon original sin, does include bodily and temporal miseries. But not every trial comes as a direct consequence for a particular actual sin. Just consider the disciples in our gospel lesson today. There's no indication from the Gospel of Matthew that the disciples had sinned or had done anything to deserve such a great storm. again, unlike Jonah. In fact, unlike Jonah, they followed Jesus rather than running from him. And yet the great storm still arose upon them on the sea. The boat in which they rested was being swamped by the waves. One might say, didn't Jesus rebuke them for their little faith? Yes, but Jesus didn't say that the storm came because of their little faith. Unlike those who preach that if you only had a little more faith, you wouldn't suffer, you wouldn't lack, you wouldn't be sad, Jesus does not blame the disciples or their lack of faith for the storm. In fact, Jesus doesn't give any reason for the storm at all. It simply came. The creation subjected to futility, in bondage to corruption, groaning in the pains of childbirth. Nevertheless, our Lord did rebuke the little faith of the disciples as the reason for their fear. Suffering will come to all, even to Christians of great faith. Just remember the leper and the centurion from last week's gospel. And the Bible is filled with promises of God's help for the Christian in time of need, help that is even afforded to those of little faith, as seen in the examples of Jonah and the disciples today. And so faith, whether it be little or great, will neither prevent suffering in this life, nor will it keep the Lord from helping you through it. But the danger of little faith is that it would doubt the Lord's help in time of trial. And this is not uncommon, not even among the people of God in the Scriptures. In Isaiah, the people of Israel cried out, "My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God." Many ask for the Lord's help, and it doesn't seem as though they receive it. Why not? Why does God appear silent, unmoved, unfeeling? Admit it, there are times when God doesn't seem to help. There are times when God doesn't seem to comfort. Prayed for the cancer to go into remission, and your loved one still died. You prayed for the new job, and the position went to someone else. You prayed for the Lord's protection, and you ended up losing your home and possessions. You prayed for relief, and yet more troubles came. And so it's only natural to fear that your way is indeed hidden from the Lord, that your right has been disregarded by your God. To that Jesus asks today, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Is it not God and Him alone who governs the whole world? He has set the stars in the heaven, which He alone can count. And here on earth, not even a single sparrow can fall to the ground apart from His will. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is high, we cannot attain it. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and inscrutable His ways! His ways are higher than our ways, even as the heavens are higher than the earth." And so for this reason, we should not subject the will of God to our own understanding. Yes, it is natural to remember the times when God seemed to act contrary to what we asked, and so to fear that He will not help us in time of need, contrary to His promises. But the Christian must be prepared to believe in God's promises even without seeing them come. The Christian must believe that God knows and wills what is best for us, even when the cancer is not cured, when the job is lost, when the possessions are gone, and when troubles come. The Lord is God, and He alone, and therefore even the winds and the sea obey Him. He has the authority to rebuke the winds and the sea and to calm the storm. He has the authority to hurl a great wind and mighty tempest on the sea, and the authority to appoint a great fish to swallow a man and save him from death. But all this He does as part of His ongoing direction of the world. And according to His own counsel, does He determine how and when He will use His power. Nevertheless, He promises that for those who love God, all things do indeed work together for good, for those who have been called according to His purpose. In other words, God promises that He will use His almighty power and His all-encompassing authority finally to bless you, his people. Again, you must believe this without seeing it, but you believe it through hearing it. For faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Thus faith, yes, even little faith like that of the disciples, faith looks to Jesus Christ alone. The disciples may have been afraid, they may have had little faith, yes, but they still had faith in Jesus. And so they went to him alone and they cried out to him. They prayed, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." Jonah likewise fled from the presence of the Lord. But as the waters closed in on him to take his life, he called out to the Lord alone out of his distress. From them, in your distress, do likewise. Repent of your doubts, repent of your disbelief, repent of your fears that the Lord has disregarded your right, and cling to Jesus Christ alone. Call out to him for salvation and consider his sufferings. The book of Hebrews says, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." Yes, Jesus' prayers and supplications were heard by God his Father, and Jesus was still crucified. Though he is of perfect faith, being perfect man, Jesus was not delivered before he had died on the cross, hanged between two criminals, shedding his blood. But this is the perfect example of God's goodness even through suffering. For the book of Hebrews goes on, "Although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him." It was the goodness of God that led Christ his son to suffer and die on the cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. By the shedding of his blood, your sins, yes, those sins of doubt, of disbelief, of fear, your sins are forgiven. Through the word of his cross and the eating and drinking of his body and blood, you are strengthened in your faith unto everlasting life, even through the darkest trials and the deepest sufferings. By the Holy Spirit, working through the word, you love God, and you have been called according to his purpose. And therefore, all things do indeed work together for your good. And that's why, in faith that holds fast to Christ and none other, the Christian can confess in his hour of tribulation what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego confessed at the threshold of the fiery furnace long ago, saying, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." God is certainly able to bring every earthly trouble to an end by his almighty help, and the Christian trusts in his deliverance. But the Christian also confesses that even if God does not deliver in this moment, we will not seek a different God. We will not look for another source of help and comfort. After all, to whom shall we go? Christ alone has the words of eternal life. Yes, the Bible is filled with both promises and examples of God's help in time of need. Promises and examples that have been written for you, O Christian, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You have his words of eternal life, and by faith you look ahead to eternity as the fulfillment of God's promises of help to you. And so the cancer may not go into remission, but you will be raised in a body perfect, imperishable, and glorious. You may not get the job you seek, but you will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. You may lose house and home and every earthly good, but you have a treasure in heaven that will not rust or be destroyed. You may endure troubles in this earthly life, but every tear will be wiped from your eye in heaven. Therefore, do not be afraid. Whether your faith is little or great, The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He is kind in all his works. And he will rescue you from every evil deed and bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.